apes for Alex's 7th birthday, the zookeeper was kind enough to explain this to us. The habitual activity with the seeds makes the chimps happy, he said. They're also fond of smashing cardboard boxes, snapping twigs, and throwing shit at the other apes. Actually, I was envious of them. It seemed like a much more meaningful occupation than the kind of crap those idiots from welfare had me doing. The wind was blowing from the east today, bringing the smell of exhaust fumes and warm asphalt from the parking lot along with it. I leaned over the railing just far enough to feel the pull of the deep drop.
"You've got to get him to stop screaming,"
Rosa mumbled behind me.
"He's too old for all that."
"Okay," I said without looking at her. "I love you too, Rosa." I could hear her disappear into the apartment next door and lock the door behind her. We were a fragile alliance, Alex and I. A freak and a skinny 11-year-old boy. I was the only family he had, and he was mine. And although we'd spent the last 11 years in numerous apartments, amidst various people on the dole, or early pension with phobias about earth rays, allergies to electricity, and aches and pains in mysterious parts of the body, we still stuck out like pubic hair on the pussy of a porno star. I had no friends to speak of. In fact, there was only Rosa. And my friendship with her was, well, complicated. Officially, Rosa had been diagnosed with a pelvic girdle disorder after the birth of an oversized diabetic boy some 23 years ago, when she had been declared unfit for work. Unofficially, it was an open secret that both Rosa and Jens had been permanently drunk up until about 3 years ago. The social authorities' forcible removal of their son Michael was one of the most spectacular stories in the history of our apartment block. Rosa had left the 5-year-old Michael in the care of the dead drunk Jens while she herself went grocery shopping. Beer for the adults, rye bread, liver pate, and milk for the boy. On her way back, she was overtaken by the fire brigade, and by the time she got home, a small gathering of residents were standing on the tiles under their 5th-floor window, where Michael was sitting watching the world go by, his feet dangling in thin air. The firemen managed to break down the front door before Rosa arrived on the scene with the keys, and afterward there was a screaming performance when Michael was brought down from the window and driven away. Jens had apparently slept through the whole thing, leaving Rosa to sob alone on the couch in a haze of alcohol. For my own part, I had only known her sober, and she was one of the most respectable people I had ever met. She didn't smile very often, but she was honest. She did her best not to gossip about other people, which was as rare as life in space here in Ghost Town. The heavens opened in the same second I caught sight of Alex. He came running through the crash of warm water with his arms stretched out wide, as if he were flying. The steam stood off his scraggly frame, and his dark fringe clung to his forehead in jagged tufts. I leaned out over the railing and whistled to get his attention. He smiled when he saw me, and a moment later I could hear him rhythmically banging the banister all the way up from the bottom of the staircase. He didn't like taking the lift on his own. He was afraid it would get stuck or crash, and there was a permanent stench of piss from that shiny black blotch in the corner. He was a sensitive child. His nerve endings were frayed. The child psychologist said it was something he'd inherited from me, but I don't buy it. When I see myself at age 12, I see an angry, forbidding girl, crew-cut, with small, beady eyes. Alex let his fingers run along the rails of the banister till he got right up next to me. "Are you hungry?" He nodded, and we went into the kitchen, where I buttered a couple of slices of toast on the mottled kitchen counter. Presumably the surface had once resembled marble, but now it looked like what it was, worn yellow plastic. I wiped the crumbs off the counter with a cloth, swearing under my breath. It smelled foul, stiff with dried porridge. The washing basket in the bedroom was overflowing, and I desperately needed a 20-kroner coin for the laundromat. "Do you want to go to the park with me?" I put a hand on the back of his damp neck, but he pulled away from me. This was new.